following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcasting Network. For a full list of our shows, as well as breaking sports news and engaging feature stories, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to the 15th edition of the Schmidt Talking Podcast. I'm Alec Walt alongside Kyle Allen. We're two members of the class of 2017 who are obsessed with Bonnie's basketball. Kyle, welcome to you.
Alec, I was saying you came into this podcast very excited and rejuvenated, and that's basically what this Bonnie's team did for all of us. The 10-game winning streak, it seems like just yesterday they were on the brink of just a dangerous season at 2-4, and to now turn it around, this team has gelled like I've never seen a college basketball team really gel before. It's pretty crazy, you know, just the leadership you see amongst our guards and the upperclassmen, and I'm just excited for what the rest of the season holds because I just have seen what the potential of what this team can do, and it showed last night against VCU, a great win in a very, very tough environment, and we'll go into that as we were there in attendance.
Yeah, the final score of Saturday night's game was 68-63, St. Bonaventure. And Kyle, you're right. From you and I, who were both in attendance, that VCU crowd was pretty loud.
Now, give them credit. I mean, they are having a down year. I mean, they've literally made 7 NCAA tournaments before leading into this year in a row, and they are having a down year, but credit their fans. They were loud, and, you know, they can be some very heckling type of fans, but, you know, give them credit. They are very loud, and they really love that team, and I just was very surprised at how loud it was, even for given how much of a down year it's been for them. But what a game for Courtney Stocker, 21 points, 14 rebounds, all those being defensive rebounds. We were saying that in the beginning of the game. He's going to get 15 defensive rebounds at this rate. He seemed to get like 5 in the first 2 minutes, and it seemed that that was going to be a key because they were not getting very many second chance opportunities, and that proved out to be the case as they shot 33 threes. They averaged about 24 threes a game, so we forced them to shoot 9 more threes. They averaged 8 made threes a game, so to force them to have 9 makes on 33 attempts just goes to show what type of defensive team we are on the perimeter. We're, I think, the best in the league now, letting up only 30.8% of the threes that teams are shooting against us. So I'm just excited. On both sides of the ball, we played really well last night.
Yeah, Kyle, we were going to need a very well-rounded game if we were going to beat VCU, especially on the road. We mentioned on the last cast and on this one right now that VCU is a very tough place to play, and if we don't show up and play as a team, that we may not leave the Siegel Center with a win. But if we were talking about this, we needed to rebound, and Courtney had 14 defensive rebounds. As a team, we had 27. VCU's a big team. They like to rebound the basketball. We only let them get 12 offensive rebounds, and they only had 12 second-chance points. Kyle, that was a huge factor to why the Bonnies won on Saturday night.
Yeah, and you also spoke to how you were surprised of how slow this game was, and that shows in the rebounding margin, us only getting 27, then 23, 50 total rebounds. That's not a lot of rebounds in a basketball game, so it just showed how much of this game was really down to the final seconds of the shot clock. There was a lot of half-court sets, not as much up-tempo offense as we would have thought, but that worked into our advantage. I think we can play both up-tempo and in the half-court, and with Mobley struggling, we really had to find ways to get those last-second buckets with the shot clock running down. You can remember towards the end of the second half there, there was times Courtney Stockard was, you know, passing the ball with maybe 2 or 1 second left in the shot clock, but us getting a really clean layup and clean look against that VCU defense. So it just goes to show that, like I said, this team is really gelling right now at the right time, and it just couldn't come at a better time for us to get on this winning streak, a historic winning streak in the program's history.
Yeah, it shows a lot about this team's character for what they've been able to do this season. When one of their star players is down, the rest of the team's able to step up and find a way to win. When you look at VCU, we said it last week, we expect a big game from Justin Tillman, and we got that.
I was just surprised at how good of a shooter he was. I might be mistaken, but I just don't think that was always in his arsenal. I think that's something he's really improved on, and my dad kept saying, he's like, man, imagine if we had a guy like him. He is a damn good player, and I saw today, I think if he gets like 31 more points a certain number of rebounds, he's going to average 20 and 10 on the Atlantic 10 conference season. And that hasn't happened since David West was on Xavier and when they were in the Atlantic 10 back in 2002, 2003. So credit to him. He's a really solid player that's improved over his time at VCU.
And I was saying it throughout the game. I said, I knew Tillman knew how to shoot the basketball. I just did not think he was going to make this many shots consistently. He was 3 for 6. All three of them were in the first half. So we talk about that Bonnie's defense. They really stepped up in the second half. But you look at the rest of VCU's roster, they only had one guy score over 10 points. The Bonnies did a really good job shutting down their secondary scores. They let Tillman go off, but really everyone else was locked down for a good majority of the game.
Yeah, number zero, Jenkins, on their team was a guy I was afraid of that was going to get hot early, but he ended up only going 2 of 11 from 3. So going into that game, they were going to try to outshoot us. That's, I think, was their mindset. They were going to shoot a lot of threes and live and die by the three against a team that it looked like we were maybe a little slow in the rotation, but at the same time, I think we played very good perimeter defense. And for us to force them to shoot that many three-pointers, it just worked out well. I think, you know, we were just a team that really just had the will to win in a matchup where, you know, you're going into a raucous environment. And I think it just showed now in two away matchups with Syracuse and VCU, two of the tough environments, which just goes to show we can do it. We can play against these tough crowds, and that can only help when it comes to March, right?
Yeah, you're right. But Kyle, I have a question for you because I was really thrown off by this. When you look at VCU, they're a big team. They like to rebound. They like to play up pace. Were you surprised on how the game was going the other night? I mean, you expect VCU to pound it in the paint almost every play, and they were playing a shootout. I mean, I was watching this game thinking, this is nowhere near the script I predicted before the game started.
Yeah, and so that just, like I said, I think they wanted to shoot the lights out against us. Both of their forwards took a combined 12 three-pointers in that game, right? So they wanted to score from both inside out and outside, but normally VCU was a team against us. Like we said last week on the cast, going into this game, I think our mismatch was on the inside. So it played to our advantage that they were really stretching these guys out and bringing them to the outside, and it let guys like Ladarian play to their defensive strengths. You know, long and athletic on the outside that really helps on the perimeter. And when Tillman's trying to get these quick threes off, LD right in his face, that altered three of those shots. He made three of them, but three of the key misses came in the second half.
Yeah, I really want to credit LD for his defensive performance. We saw in the second half, Justin Tillman didn't make a single three-point shot, and he had a little shove there in the second half. You could tell LD was getting in his head.
Yeah, and LD, credit him. He was getting a little altered on his first couple shots, and he was, you know, he was just trying to get a feel for what he wanted down low. He ended up going 5 or 7 from the floor, and so he did what he needed to do. He was an efficient basketball player last night and had a sick dunk from Jay's assist off the glass in the first half that tied it up at 27. Should have been on the SC top 10. I found out that it wasn't, and I was kind of pissed off. But anyway, he has just been one of the more clutch players in this winning streak and has been a key X factor to our success. And going forward, I don't expect anything different.
And I think one play that needs to be talked about a little more, two actually, is one, Schmidt has a bunch of confidence in Ladarian. Ladarian had 4 fouls with a good chunk of the game going, and he looked at his bench, turned back around, and said, no, I'm keeping Ladarian in the game. I have confidence in him. I want to keep this lineup. Great decision by Schmidt. This team has confidence as the five that they had on the court with Jalen Adams, Matt Mobley, Courtney Stockard, Idris Takee, and Ladarian Griffin. He kept the lineup, kept the confidence. Great decision by Coach Schmidt. When the game was getting down to the wire, there was a play where the ball was rolling off the front of the rim and Ladarian attacked the glass, dunked it right back in. The Bonnies had a bunch of confidence after that. The next few plays, Courtney made that big shot, and the Bonnies ended up winning. The Bonnies have a tough game this week. Tuesday night, they have a game against Davidson. Davidson's a team that beat them earlier in the season on the road. The final score was 83-73. Not the best performance for the Bonnies, but they get a second chance to play them on Tuesday night. When you look at the standings, Davidson is 12-4 in the Atlantic 10. That's the same record as St. Bonaventure, but Davidson has the second seed because of that win back in February. Kyle, you could say VCU is a good test for Davidson because they took 33 shots, and you know Davidson's going to shoot the basketball.
When it comes to Davidson, they are a team that likes to shoot the basketball a lot. That's one thing I am worried about when it comes to this game, but just looking into more of the intangibles of this matchup, to be honest, the winning streak started after that loss against Davidson. I think the guys really rally from then on. They know what type of Davidson is and what they did to them last game, and I think it's going to be a revenge matchup. I think Schmidt's going to have a lot of motivation on the wall, writing on the wall this week, where you know, he's just going to explain to these guys, you know, what this team put us in the brink of in the beginning of the Atlantic 10 season. They tried to write our season off, but, you know, we rallied together and showed that we're not done yet. And I think a key factor is they're 6-7 on the road this season, 10-1 at home. You know, they're just like us at home. They're a tough team to face on their home floor. And so when we're on our home floor, we're almost unbeatable. And I think, you know, that showed against Rhode Island. You know, I just want this community to come rally around this team one more time, one last home game. The students aren't going to be there, but I hope the fans show out and really get behind this team, because it's going to be a key factor into this game. There's going to be a lot of offense in this game, so we're going to really need the crowd to help step up on the defensive end and make it loud.
Yeah, Kyle, you said this is going to be one offensive game. These teams are amongst the two best teams in the Atlantic 10 offensively. You look at it, points per game, Bonnie 77.1, that's second in the conference. Davidson 76 points per game, that's third in the conference. Field goal percentage, Davidson's first at 48.6. Bonnie's are fifth with 45.2. Three-point shooting percentage, Davidson is third at 38.9. And Bonnie's are first at 39.6. So, Kyle, this could be another game where defense could decide who the winner is. Davidson's a team that loves to pass the basketball, slow the game down, doesn't turn the ball over. So it's clear that the Bonnies, if they want to win, they're going to have to disrupt their passing lanes, pick up the pace, and have this offense commit a bunch of turnovers.
The defense we played against VCU would prove to be successful for us if we translate that over against Davidson, because we had 9 steals yesterday. We did interrupt their passing lanes a lot, more on the perimeter. If we clog that middle against a team like Davidson that likes to cut and use a lot of different types of offense where it comes to, you know, using the passing lanes and backdoor cuts and things like that, but they also like to shoot the basketball. So it's going to come down to how we play against those passing lanes and our perimeter defense. And I think during this 10-game winning streak, our defense has been superb, going from Rhode Island to a pretty solid defensive game against Duquesne to an even better defensive game against VCU. And it's going to be another test for us Tuesday night. And I think we'll be able to take care of business at home. We're just a different team at home, and I really stand by that. I think we're just a team that is a really big force to be reckoned with on their home floor.
If you watched the game earlier this season when Rhode Island played them, they just beat them up, picked up the pace, and really forced them to play a different style of Davidson basketball. They're not a very aggressive team. They have averaged 5 steals per game. That's last in the conference. Blocks, 2. That's last in the conference. If Jay can play aggressive, drive the lane, there's not many players there in the paint that should scare this Bonnies team.
That's what I'm saying. I think a key to this game is forcing Davidson to have to play defensive versus, you know, an up-tempo offense like us. If we are able to drive the lane and force them to have to respect the inside with an Adams or Mobley, if we can get Mobley going on the inside, that would be huge for, you know, just opening up the opportunities on the outside for us. So that's where we make our bread and butter, is if once we just open up those outside shooting opportunities. So, like you said, it's going to be key to getting it going for us in the lane as well.
All right, Kyle, what's your score prediction for Tuesday night?
I think the Bonnies pull off the win on Tuesday, but it's not going to be as easy as we think. I think we pull it off with a 9-point win. I think the Bonnies are going to win 83-74 in a pretty high-scoring matchup, where the Bonnies just outwork them on the offensive end.
I'm going to go 87-82. I am expecting a very high-scoring game. These are the two of the top teams in the Atlantic 10 offensively. I do think the Bonnies have a little bit worse of a defensive game than they did against VCU. Obviously, VCU isn't as explosive offensively as Davidson. Davidson's going to shoot a lot of threes. I mean, you look at VCU, they took 33 three-point shots. They only made 9. If Davidson takes 33 three-point shots, they're going to make more than 9 of them. So I'm expecting Davidson to score a lot of points. But again, if we play aggressive, we pick up the pace, we drive the lane, force them to play aggressive. They're not an aggressive team. I think the Bonnies have a very good chance of winning on Tuesday night and extending their winning streak to 11 games. Kyle, after the Davidson game, I drove to Emporia, Virginia to stay at a hotel on my way back to Florence, South Carolina. And ESPN2 was playing a replay broadcast of the Maryland-Michigan game. And Joe Lunardi said something very interesting during the game. I only watched about 5 minutes of it, so the timing of when I decided to turn the TV on was very convenient. They said, joining us right now is ESPN's Joe Lunardi. Joe, let's talk about Maryland's chances of making the tournament. And he said, Maryland's chances of making the tournament is a lot slimmer today than it was before. One of their big losses was against St. Bonaventure. Since the Bonnies are in, I think Maryland is out. Do you think it's interesting that Lunardi said the Bonnies are in?
Yeah, I just think right now that the way the bubble is falling, a lot of bubble teams are losing, and today UCLA lost to Colorado, which is another bubble team that basically they have a matchup coming up against USC this week that's going to be huge when it comes to just the bubbling implications. Basically, I think the winner of that goes to the NCAAs, the other goes to the NIT, and the winner isn't even a guarantee. It's just keeping their hopes alive, right? But I think the more we keep winning, the more we're just going to keep our chances off the bubble. I think things are falling right for us right now when it comes to the bubble teams, and so I think we don't really have a whole lot to worry about as it stands today. Things may change in a week, but at the same time, I think the Bonnies are rolling right now, and I think we are going to win out, and that's my opinion. And so in that case, that would put us off the bubble. At least should. It would be pretty ridiculous that a 24-win team with only six losses would still be on the bubble, but the NCAA has surprised us before. But I think right now Joe Lunardi is pretty confident that we're going to be in, and I think he is pretty correct when it comes to that because the Bonnies deserve it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Bonnies are now 25th in the RPI. Last week they were 27, and all I got to say, my take from that Lunardi bit is that it looks like a lot more analysts and a lot more people around the NCAA are taking the Bonnies seriously, and that's a lot of confidence for a team that is really looking to get into the NCAA tournament. Finally, Kyle, we're going to end. We have a new segment here on Schmidt Talking. We are going to answer questions from Twitter. And throughout the week, you can tweet at us at Schmidt_talking, and we will answer your questions throughout the show. Kyle, first question comes from at M_Roney24. Just how important is strength of schedule in getting in the tournament? Bonas is in the 90s, while Q's is around 22, and URI is around 50. And what is the average strength of schedule of 8-10 teams making it to the tourney?
The last one, that's going to be a little tough to answer because you'd have to really do some long-term research on that and seeing where the strength of schedules were going into Selection Sunday. But to answer your question about importance of the strength of schedule, I think when it comes to a strength of schedule, something a lot of the committee looks at is the non-conference strength of schedule because that is the number one thing you can control as a team like a Bonaventure where they don't have as many opportunities to play Power 5 schools, obviously, if you're not in a Power 5 conference. So you also can't control the strength of your conference. So for right now, the Atlantic 10 is as down as it's been in a while as far as overall strength, right? A few years ago, they were talking about five teams in the league getting into the NCAA tournament. So there's been times where this team's gotten five, six teams in, but at the same time, there's been times where they only get two teams in, so where it's looking like it's going to be this year. Comparing bubble teams, I look at strength of schedule. Obviously, like a Louisville right now, their strength of schedule is 31. A non-conference strength of schedule, they're 74. Now, they don't need to necessarily play a hard non-conference strength of schedule because their conference proves to be a pretty solid conference. And so, obviously, they're not going to need that. But our non-conference strength of schedule right now sits at 55. That is key for us because that just shows that, you know, we are willing to take the risk to play these tough schools and put our NCAA hopes on the line when it comes to playing the teams like a TCU, a Maryland, a Syracuse. We're not going to be able to play those Power 5 schools on a consistent basis. So I think strength of schedule is important, but I would say the non-conference strength of schedule is more important when it comes to a team like us. Comparing the non-conference strength of schedule, Syracuse right now has a really strong non-conference strength of schedule, surprisingly, at 21. They played a lot of teams like Bonaventure that are borderline mid-level RPI teams. And so Syracuse definitely did a good job when it comes to scheduling a non-conference strength of schedule. And USC, they hold a non-conference strength of schedule of 56. So we're right one ahead of them. So I think that's what you got to look at. We fare pretty well when it comes to that. So I wouldn't get too caught up in the overall strength of schedule. But as you know, we're a smaller school, so let's just take care of business and win out here and go to 24-6 heading into the Atlantic 10 tournament, and that's where I think we'll be all feeling pretty comfortable at that point. All right, Alex, so another question we got from some fans of ours, at Bonna Wolf. Does Ianni see the court ever again in Bonnie uniform? And to combine that, another question along the same realm from at another Tim Berry, he says, is Ianni suspended or off the team? Obviously, we are not of any internal, you know, source, so we can't really comment on that. But, Alec, I just want to see what your opinion was on the whole situation with Josh Ianni.
Kyle, when we were walking around VCU on Saturday night, I was looking at Bonnie's bench because our bigs were getting in foul trouble, so I was thinking, oh, maybe Annie could go in the game. When I looked on the bench, Annie wasn't there. And Kyle, I do not believe Annie sees the court again in a Bonnie uniform. Again, you mentioned it before, we're not inside the locker room. We're not inside sources with the team. But something happened that we don't know about. That was an internal suspension. And whatever the internal suspension was, really ticked off Coach Schmidt. The fact that he isn't traveling with the team, the fact that this team has been playing so much better since he's been gone, is gives me a reason that he will not touch the court again in a St. Bonaventure uniform. And Kyle, our final question from Twitter, from at Amir518D, which city do you think slash hope the Bonnies will play in for the tourney?
Well, there's a few answers for this because it's tough. If we get off the bubble, that's our best chance to get a more favorable position. So right now, Pittsburgh is the closest to campus, right? So right now, the only seeding you could get to play in Pittsburgh would be a 1 or a 16. Bonnie's is not going to be either one of those. Or an 8 or a 9. We could have a chance to get to a 9. Right now, we're an 11 in most brackets. And let's say we went out and let's say we win the Atlantic 10 tournament, right? They would have no reason to not make us a single-digit seed. And so that's where we could really fall into a favorable matchup of where the tournament ends up for us in the first slash second round. So another opportunity would be Charlotte as well. I think that could be another chance for where we get a lot of Bonnies. We're going to get Bonnies fans wherever we are, right? We travel so well. We're such a loyal fan base for how small of our school is. Credit to us, I think we travel better than most fans in the Atlantic 10, in my opinion. Charlotte is a huge hub for Bonnies fans. That is an opportunity where we could play a game as a 10 seed potentially or a 7 seed. Right now they have the 1-16 matchup, the 8-9 matchup, the 2-15 matchup, and the 7-10 matchup. Destination-wise, I mean, if I would be able to make it, San Diego, that'd be awesome just because of, you know, how cool San Diego is. It's my favorite city in California. But in my opinion, I think the two places where the Bonnies could play that would be most favorable for us would be Pittsburgh number one, and I think Charlotte number two as far as locations go.
Yeah, Kyle, I 100% agree with you. I think Pittsburgh and Charlotte are the best spots for the tournament. Again, if you want to be a part of the show, tweet us your questions at @Schmidt_talking throughout the week. We plan on doing this segment in the future. That's going to be it for this episode of the Schmidt Talking Podcast. I'm Alec Walt alongside Kyle Allen. Tune in next week as we give a full recap of the games against Davidson and St. Louis and preview the Atlantic 10 tournament. Thank you for listening and have a good night.